Well, hello everyone. So today we talked to yesterday about in the last couple of days about being free from sin, because the scripture says that when Christ died, I died in him. And the person who was a slave to sin, who was under the condemnation of the law, that person was crucified with Christ. He didn't just pay for my sins. He totally crucified the old fallen enslaved sin self. It was buried. And now it's raised up in him as a new creation, free from sin's reign in my life. But he also, in Christ, I died to the law. Romans chapter 6 talks about our death to sin in Christ. Romans chapter 7 talks about our death in Christ to the law. Now, what is the law? In put simple terms, the law is man's best effort to keep an external set of rules, to be a godly person, to live a godly life that's pleasing and acceptable before the Lord. There's a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that kind of describes the difference between living life as a law person as opposed to living by the Spirit. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life." So living under the law is, he uses the analogy of trying to keep the rules that are written on stones, like the Ten Commandments, trying to keep this outward standard based on outward understanding of right and wrong, as if God is obsessed with right and wrong. God is not obsessed with right and wrong. God is obsessed with righteousness. And you and I are in union with the righteousness of Christ. And so God, what God is looking for is our manifestation of the righteousness of Christ, not our trying to keep some outward standard, but the righteousness of Christ comes forth from us. This is another really important passage. This is Galatians chapter 2, really, or chapter 5, really important, very familiar. You contrast the deeds of the flesh and the deeds of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Now, here what he says, "And against such things there is no law." There is no reason to try to keep some outward standard if love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control is coming forth from our life, because that's Christ-likeness. Not Christ-likeness by an imitation on our part, but Christ-likeness by a manifestation of his life through us. Not an imitation by us, but his manifestation through us. Now, having said all that, I want to spend the rest of our little time together we have about living a fruitful life, because being more fruitful for God, which is really a wrong way to say it, being more fruitful for God is not about trying harder. It's about resting deeper. It's not about more effort. It's about trusting. Now, you would think if you're going to be more fruitful, it will require you're working harder and you're trying harder, when the truth is that to bear fruit, and we're not called to be fruit producers. That's the difference between being a fruit producer and a fruit bearer. We're branches, and branches bear fruit. Jesus is the vine. And we're part of the vine called branch, through which the vine bears fruit. You're not just a branch attached to the vine, and you're trying the best you can to have fruit for God. You're a part of the vine called branch, through which the vine bears fruit. It's Christ who produces fruit. It's the vine who produces fruit. The branch bears the fruit, and that's our great privilege. That's our true calling in life. So it's not about producing fruit for God, but it's really about allowing God to produce fruit through us. And we get to participate in that by being fruit bearers. This is Romans. We'll read this real quickly. Romans chapter 7. Now, chapter 6 has just talked about the fact that sin's reign over us has stopped because we died to sin in the death of Christ. We're raised up with him that he might live his life of righteousness through us as a free gift. First, in verse 1 of chapter 7, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Now we know that there's the written law, but if we want to simplify it, the law or law living is just your best effort to keep an outward standard so that you're pleasing to God, so that you live a godly life." And then he goes on and he says again, "For the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives." Okay. "For the married woman is bound by the law." Now he's using an analogy here, almost like a parable. "For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband, because the husband, being the type of the law, died. So then, if while her husband is living, if while the law is still living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is freed from the law, because the law has died, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man." Well, the law didn't die and can't die. But it says in verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren," so it includes all of us, "you also were made to die to the law." Oh, so the solution would be, if you have a woman married to a husband called the law, and that law is a perfectionist, and is always pointing out what the wife doesn't get right, no matter how hard they try. But she can't divorce the law, and the law can't die. And if she, therefore, if the law can't die, the only other solution would require a miracle. That she, the wife, would have to die to the perfectionist, the law of an outward performance. She would have to die and be raised up, joined to another as a new person, as a new self. Like as if she were born again, and now she has died to the law, and the law has no more control over her. That's what it says. "Therefore, my brethren, you were also made," that's all grace, "to die to the law through the body of Christ." So when Christ died on the cross, not only did you die to sin, but you died to the law, that you might be joined to another, to him, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Oh, so the law can't die, but you died to the law, and you're now in union with another, which is Jesus, that you might bear fruit for God. "For while we were in the flesh," when you were lost, "the sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in you, the members of our body, to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." The law was intended to reveal our sin. Grace is intended to free us from sin. The law, the power of sin, Romans 7 will tell later, is the law. Because the law says, try harder. Here's the perfect standard. Try harder, try harder, try harder. Measure yourself by whether or not you're praying enough, by whether or not you're fasting enough. Are you witnessing enough? Are you doing this enough and doing that enough? And as you're doing it and you're succeeding and you're getting up and you're spending more time and you feel good about yourself, that you're keeping the law and God must be pleased with you and therefore he's going to bless you because you're getting it right. Because you're praying now 45 minutes every morning, then you read a book by someone who's walking in an extraordinary anointing and they pray for 2 hours a morning. You think, oh, I gotta pray 2 hours a morning, and it never stops. And you're trying your best to produce fruit for God. But fruit is something Jesus alone produces. You simply get to enjoy the fact that you get to rest in him and bear fruit. For a branch, if you walk by a tree, you don't hear, or you walk by a grape vine and there's these branches attached. You don't hear the branches straining and groaning, trying to produce fruit. What they're doing is abiding in the vine and allowing the life of the vine to come forth through the branch and produce fruit. And the branch is there to bear the fruit the vine produces. We don't become more fruitful for God by working harder from him, for him. That's the law. You died to the law living. It's no longer you. It's grace now. It's all him. We bear fruit. There's more fruit as a result of our abiding, not by more doing. We don't produce fruit. We bear fruit. And we don't bear more fruit by trying harder. we bear more fruit by trusting deeper. It's not through working more. It's through resting more in Him. Not in activity, but abiding in and resting in His activity coming forth from you. You died to the guilt, the condemnation of the law that condemned you for all the sins you committed. That person went to the cross, died in Christ, and was buried. But you also died to the curse of the law. The curse that says you got to try harder and try harder and do more to be godly. You died to that. You get to now participate in Jesus' spirituality. Again, for the death that he died, Romans 6, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin in Christ. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I pray that you'll spend the rest of the day celebrating the fact that you've been set free from sin's reign and you've been set free from your own personal struggle to try harder for God to have a fruitful life. That you've been attached to the only one that can produce fruit for God that remains. And as the branch, you get to enjoy the whole process, abiding in him as part of who he is, allowing Jesus to be your spirituality and you getting to bear fruit for God, more fruit, much fruit, as it says in John 15. Have a great rest of the day.